الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, before we continue with the khutbah, inshallah, in order that the prayer be accepted from all of us, we should always strive to do everything according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the brothers can come, fill the first row first, unless you have some sort of medical necessity not to, inshallah. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the people knew what the blessing was in the first row, it would be so contentious that they would have to draw lots for it. And if they knew what the blessing of showing up for the night prayer was in congregation, they would come to it even if they had to come crawling. There is a narration in the Sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua at the end of a gathering. It is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was very rare that a gathering would dissolve except for that he would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the following prayers, with the following supplications. This is something that's missing from people's understanding with regards to the deen as they live their life. The deen is not merely something you do on a sacred hour on the sacred day of the week, nor is it merely something that you do in a sacred month of the year or sacred months, nor is it merely something that a person engages with at the time of their prayer. A person engages with the deen by their day and night, in the way that they sleep, in the way that they eat, in the way that they do everything. Even in the way that a person sins, there's a different way that the sins of a believer occur, and there's a different way that the sins of a non-believer occur. That's something strange for people to think about, but a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not going to be able to taste any sweetness from their sin. They're not going to enjoy their sin. They're not going to sin with the same abandon that another person does. You will find many awsaf and many descriptions of the believer in the Qur'an, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will not find from amongst those descriptions the complete ability to abstain or absolve oneself from sin. This is a maqam and a station only reserved for the Prophets alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Rather, the khairul khatta'ina at-tawwabun, the best of those people who sin are the ones who are habitual and constant in their tawbah, who don't delay their tawbah, who are the quickest to make their tawbah. So, one of the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have forgotten and we have left, is that whenever a group of people gathers together for any reason, whatever reason whatsoever, if people are sitting to read a halaqah about aqidah or a dars about fiqh, or whether they're sitting together to watch the Super Bowl, or whether they're sitting together to meet with family, it doesn't matter. Whenever any group of people comes together, elders, youngers, relatives, Muslims, non-Muslims, whoever it is, when the Muslim comes together with a group of people, that majlis, that gathering in which the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a sahih hadith that that majlis and that gathering is what? It will be something that people will look backwards toward on the day of judgment with such a feeling of regret that it will be as if they had sat around the rotting carcass of a donkey. Meaning what? It's completely useless, and it will be something that people will regret. People will see no khair, they'll see no benefit in it, and they'll see that it was an odious experience. It was a detestable experience. Does that mean that every single time you sit together with people you have to preach the Jummah khutbah? No. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something you just pepper throughout your day and your night. And in the context of sitting with other people, you pepper the remembrance of Allah ta'ala through it. This is why our forefathers, our ancient forefathers in deen, they used to say things like, insha'Allah, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. And the thing is, that in and of itself is enough to be counted as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the one who does it correctly. But as with other things, the state of the heart that is synchronous with the deed is very important. So there are people who, when they say inshallah, what they mean is, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to blame Allah ta'ala for it. And there are people when they say inshallah, they mean, if Allah ta'ala wills, this is my intention, I'm expressing my intention, if Allah ta'ala wills, He's the one who's in control. Some people say, Alhamdulillah, meaning, haha, I have this thing, you don't. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. And there are some people who feel genuine shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hamd is an expression that a person makes with, carries much more meaning than this, but one of the angles of its meaning is the expression that a person makes to thank the one that they can do nothing to repay or nothing to actually materially make thanks to. All they can do is what? Express that they owe a debt of gratitude to that one. Jalla wa ala. All of these things are enough. They're enough to what? They're enough to make that majlis into a majlis of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, afterward, socializing, having fun, meeting people, learning things, all of these other things, they all happen within the dhimn, within the fold of this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all of those other things mubarak. It protects you from the harms of those other things. It protects you from the evils of those other things. The harm and the evil, so what are you talking about, harm and evil? We're not going to, for a stroll at 3 a.m. through the hood, that we're going to get jumped and someone's going to jack our wallet. People sit and they rattle their tongues, there's a far greater danger than that. Why? Because the tongue, it can jack you for something much more important than your wallet. It can jack you for your good deeds, it can jack you for your iman. It can literally steal your iman from you. What is your iman? A person, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a person will speak a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, with which Allah is pleased. You say something, you didn't even do a good deed yourself. You heard about someone else went on hajj. Somebody else sponsored an orphan. Somebody else showed some act of respect to his or her parents. Somebody else showed an act of kindness to another person for the sake of Allah. And you said, subhanAllah, how beautiful is that? But you did it with sincerity. Sometimes a person will say a word, just a word of Allah Ta'ala's rida, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's what? Of His pleasure, because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that person from amongst those whom Allah Ta'ala is pleased with until the day that they meet. And the day of judgment is a day, it begins, it never ends. It doesn't mean that after that day anything changes, it means what? Forever. It's an expression meaning forever. And there is a person who will say a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sakhat and his ghada, from his anger, that they will say it and Allah ta'ala will write this as a person with whom Allah ta'ala is displeased until the day that they meet. This is far worse than losing your wallet. This is far worse than your car getting hit by somebody who doesn't have insurance. This is far worse than having an underwater mortgage. This is worse than failing a class. This is worse than the girl you're in love with saying, my baba says I can't marry you, block, goodbye. It's worse than all of those things. I see some smiles, mashallah, it seems that we're not completely alien to this experience, mashallah. Right? It's worse than all of those things. All of those things you'll get over, this is something you won't get over. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's a hadith in which it said, whoever says at the end of their majlis when they're done sitting in any gathering, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم glory be to you, O Allah, وبحمدك, and to you be praise. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, we bear witness that there is no God except for you. ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I bear witness that there's no God except for you, and I seek your forgiveness and I turn to you in repentance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, these words are an expiation for whatever came before in the conversation. So many things a person says, so many things a person snickers or smiles about. They don't understand. When we talk about words, words are not only, I mean, this is not a grammatical definition of kalamu. Inna al-kalama indana faltastami' lafzun marakkabun mufidun qad wudi'. The meaning words has a more broad characterization. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. Allah Ta'ala describes that the people, the criminal people in this, the life of this world, they used to laugh when the people of belief would pass by them. And when they would pass by them, they would yataghamazun. They would just like, you know, like wink at each other and like make these kind of like snicker at, you know, at each other. Look at this fool walking by. This is what? It can be something just as simple as that. It can be something just as simple as the way you say a word. You delay a little bit to imply sarcasm. You pronounce a word in a particular way in order to mock a person. You do all of these things. It's something just as subtle, just as simple. What can it do? This is real. If there's any age in which this is real, it's this age. I am not that much older than you. I like to tell myself that to make myself feel better. I'm not that much older than the median age of people over here. I graduated from the University of Washington in Seattle, where Dr. Blankenship did his PhD 11 years ago with my undergrad. 11 years, that's not that long ago. It kind of is, but it isn't. When I was in middle school and high school, right, our parents were not in favor of us watching television because there's too much sex and violence on TV. No, the awliya and the pious ones are the ones watching the sex and the violence. TV, the entire popular culture, one of the things I noticed that's different after coming back from madrasa, everything is filled with blasphemy. Everything is filled with blasphemy. Comedy shows, blasphemy, news, blasphemy, everything. It's filled with blasphemy against the prophets, against the books of Allah Ta'ala, faith, the existence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We're all, mashallah, real liberal, progressive, activist-y type people. So we watch The Daily Show and Colbert and all of this other stuff. All these people, they mock Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His Anbiya alayhimus salam again and again and again. Not even in the context of Islam, just in general. To laugh at a joke like that, what is it? It's kufr. These are traps that are set on all sides of us. We are in this circumstance. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Because the point of my saying all of this is not just to complain and say, oh, it's, you know, bleak picture, we're all going to hell, so just give up. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a Nabi of Akhir al-Zaman. He's a Nabi of the last days. He foretold, he instructed the Ummah that these things, a time will come when all of these things will happen. This is what you're supposed to do then. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what? That whoever says these words, it's an expiation for whatever was said in the majlis before it. Meaning what? It's an antidote. It will draw the poison out of that experience. It is an antidote. It will draw out the effect of the poison of that majlis, of that gathering. What is it? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. All of your MSA meetings you should finish with these words. Why? Because we live in a perilous time. A person needs to take precaution. We live in times more perilous than the ones that our forefathers, forget about our forefathers, you live in a time more perilous than the one even who graduated 11 years before you from university lives in. We have to take these precautions to protect ourselves. Lest what? Lest what? Lest we? أَنْتَحْبَطَ عَمَالَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You destroy all of the blessings and the benefit of your good deeds and you're not even aware of it. If a person utters the word of kufr, what happens? A person, there's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Does your hajj still count, or do you have to do hajj again? Does your prayers that you missed from behind, you have to even make them up? Because were you even a Muslim at that time? These are all discussions that the ulama had. The idea is what? A person needs to do whatever he can to protect himself or herself from kufr first, and then afterward worry about other things. This is something very interesting. People somehow have this like really mega, but almost Protestant obsession with sin. And what they don't understand is that kufr is worse than every sin, and iman is better than any good deed. This is an usuli understanding our forefathers had. What do you think for all of those centuries, people in Baghdad and people in Damascus and people in Yemen and people in India and people in China and all of these places where Muslims built civilization? You think people didn't used to sin in those places? I guarantee you all the debauchery that you're saying astaghfirullah from right now, they used to do 10 times more than that. Still though, they had iman. Why? Because they understood these basic things. There is this narration from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu that I first made mention to. And it is that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فلما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم من مجلس حتى يدعو بهؤلاء الدعوات. لما is what? It's nafi, like it's a past to continuous negation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did and still never gets up from a majlis alayhi salatu wasalam until he makes these couple of du'as, he makes these couple of prayers. Which is what? It's another set of words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah in order to inoculate them from the ill effects of sitting together and moving the tongue in a way that may or may not be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allahumma qsim lana min khashiyatik. O Allah, make for our provision. You know what Allahumma means? Have you ever wondered why in formal Arabic, right? We say it in Ammiya, but in formal Arabic, in proper Arabic, in the Arabic of the Quran and in the Arabic of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't say Ya Allah. You ever wondered why? Why do we say Allahumma and we don't say Ya Allah? Ya is harful nida. It's how you call out to someone who's distant from you. So the Arabs, even from the time of Jahiliyyah, understood intuitively that this is improper. That this is improper because Allah Ta'ala is not distant. Allah Ta'ala isn't distant. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. وَهُوَ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَهُوَ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah Ta'ala, He is the one who created insan, and He knows the whispering of a person between him and his own soul. And He is closer to a person than what? Than their own carotid artery. Right? It's the artery that takes blood directly from the heart to the brain. It's closer to even than that. Allahumma is what? It's saying Allah, and that the meme afterward is a iwad. It is a replacement for the harful nida, so that a person understands grammatically that this is who Allah Ta'ala, who is being called. Allah Ta'ala is being called. But it's not appropriate to use the harful nida for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's with you, because you're not calling on somebody who's distant. You're calling on the one who's with you wherever you are. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. O Allah, give us as a portion from your awe, from your fear, enough that will stand between us and that will stand between your disobedience. وَمِنْ طَاعَتِكَ مَا تُبَلِّغُنَا بِهِ جَنَّتَكَ. And from your obedience, give us as a portion enough that will be able to take us to your Jannah. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. And give us enough of your yaqeen, enough of certainty in you, enough that will what? Enough that will dull the edge of the masa'ib, the difficulties that we go through in this dunya. This is who? This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructing his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to ask Allah ta'ala for this yaqeen, to ask for this God-fearingness, to ask for this what? For this ta'ah, for this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is instructing them, ask. And what do we have nowadays? I don't believe in God anymore. I don't know if I can believe anymore. It's difficult for me to do all this stuff. I'm tired of all this. It's difficult. It's difficult if you're doing it on your own. If Allah ta'ala is helping you, then everything becomes easy. This is a different methodology. A person who makes tasawwur, who conceives of these things being something that a normal human being can do on their own without the help of Allah Ta'ala, this is a misconception. This is an error. This is a conception which is a bid'ah. It is a reprehensible innovation in the deen. Many people throw the word bid'ah around for things that are just a difference of opinion. They're not really this is a real bid'ah. This is a real bid'ah of the age that we live in. You ask Allah Ta'ala for these things. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُحَوِّنُوا بِهِ مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. اللَّهُمَّ مَتِّعْنَا بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّتَنَا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا وَاجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, give us the enjoyment. Allow us to enjoy what? Our hearing and our sight and all of our other faculties as long as we're alive. وَجَعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. And make them the inheritors from us. It's an expression. It's a metaphorical expression. Who is your inheritor? He's the one who's there after, who's there all the way until the time of your death, right? So it's an expression meaning, make us enjoy all of these things all the way until the time of our death. Don't take these things away from us. This is a dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who Allah ta'ala takes these things away from them, we ask for sabr, we ask for patience. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about many different disabilities. For example, the one who makes patience on losing his two beloved eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person Jannah. But for those who have these faculties, these are great blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the ummah to ask Allah ta'ala to preserve these blessings for us. وَجَعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا وَجَعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَدَانَا. And put our vengeance, take vengeance from everybody who makes dhulm against us. And give us victory and help over those people who wish to make enemies out of us, who wish to take us as enemies. This is asking what? Retweet. How could you, astaghfirullah, how could you be talking about this, that, and the other thing? Don't you know people dying overseas? Don't you know people are starving over here? Don't you know this catastrophe in this country, this catastrophe in the other country, this catastrophe in our country? Right? What? وَجْعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَدَانَا. I guarantee you there are so many people who are so proud of themselves for their activism, and they never bother to wake up in the night and ask Allah Ta'ala for His help. And I guarantee you there are so many people who are pious and smug about their worship and their ibadah and how wonderful of a Muslim they are. They belong to the correct group and they have the correct sheikh and they have the correct everything. And they never lifted a finger to do anything for the ummah. What is the sunnah? Is the sunnah with one group or with the other? You can argue this argument. But the sunnah is not to pick one or the other. The sunnah is to do both. One without the other is not going to be something that will bring benefit. It's not going to be something that's going to bring help. If Allah Ta'ala isn't helping you, are you going to go anywhere? Are you going to be able to do anything? No. The dua with the action is what? It's like putting a net inside the water. You make the dua. Why? You put the net inside the water, why? If you don't put the net inside the water, are you going to catch any fish? Absolutely not. It's impossible. It's impossible to catch the fish without a net in the water. But because you put the net in the water, is the net creating any fish? Absolutely not. Only a fool would think that the net creates fish. The fish still comes from where? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is in Hajj and Umrah. Has anyone here done Hajj and Umrah before? Right? What do you do between Safa and Marwa? As-Sa'i. Sa'i means to strive to do something. What is the sunnah of Sa'i? Right? It's the rite of Hajj and Umrah. It was initiated and inaugurated by Sayyidah Hajar alayhi salam, the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Which is what? If Allah Ta'ala wished to, He would have just said, here's the water, here, drink up, kid. Drink up. No. What does He want? The Sa'i. Did running between Safa and Marwa, did it create Zamzam? Absolutely not. Did it have anything to do with an aquifer appearing in that place and pushing this kind of water pressure up in this one point that happens to be exactly where they are? Absolutely not. Had nothing to do with it. Absolutely had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But what? Did she waste her time? Should we like cut out Sa'i from Hajj as an irrelevant and a backwards practice of our uneducated moronic forefathers that now we know better, instead of waking up in the middle of the night and crying in front of Allah Ta'ala to answer our prayers and to fulfill our needs, we just go straight to the point because we're somehow smarter than they were? Wallahi, we're not smarter than they were. Wallahi, we are more in need of their knowledge than they were in need of our knowledge. Look what they did with the world, with their knowledge that they had, despite the fact that perhaps some of them didn't know physics and calculus. And look what we've done with our world, with the knowledge that we have. We have Muslims, a'udhu billah, they learned all of these knowledges only to design what? To design weapons and design all sorts of, go to work for banks and work for, these horrible like raider type capitalist firms so you can make a little money for yourself and make a lot of destruction for other people. What did we use our knowledge for? There's no barakah in it whatsoever. He says, وَجْعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَدَانَا وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. And don't put our calamity inside of our deen. Every person Allah Ta'ala will test them. Ya Allah, don't put our test inside of our deen. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. And don't make the dunya the greater part of our worry and concern. Guess what's the greater part of our worry and concern? Guess, it's the dunya. Don't pretend like it's not. I mean, we're very objective people, right? We're very objective people. We quantify everything, don't we? We put everything up on charts and graphs, and we take stats for everything, analytics for everything. Everybody knows how many times people retweeted them today and how many Facebook likes they got. Even the most moronic of our children, a'udhu billah, they're all up in stats and analytics. Okay, let's analyze. What is our greater concern? What do you spend doing from morning until night? What do you spend doing day by day in your life, years of your life? How much time have you spent doing one thing? How much time have you spent doing another? How much time have you spent worrying about a job that you're going to have for a number of years or you may never have? How much money are you going to borrow and plunge yourself into debt for a job you probably, you might not get? I don't want to be pessimistic, but at the same time, we're not going down a very healthy and productive path economically, much less in other ways, as a nation. How much time did you put into that? How much time did you put into other things? Now, the thing is this, a person might say, well, Sheikh, I have to make a living, I have to this, I have to that. I would love to go and study the deen for the rest of my life, but this X, Y, and Z, the other thing. Allah Ta'ala put barakah in the deen. Right? Everyone knows the hadith of whoever fasts 6 days after Shawwal, after Ramadan, or 6 days of Shawwal, that person, it's as if they fasted the whole year. Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said what? He said it's because what? There's 30 days in Ramadan, and the bare minimum reward for a good deed is that Allah rewards it, Allah ta'ala rewards it 10 times its worth. Right? And then, so that's 30 times 10 is what? 300, and you do another 6. Plus 60 comes out to 360. The lunar year is slightly shorter than the solar year. Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in it. Still, we're people who quantify. How many people spend a tenth of their time that they spend in the dunya on matters of deen? Even that's something. If we cannot do that much, then what do we have? This is something, this is a dua. Wallahi, it's not like a dua that other people make. This is a dua only could have come from a Nabi. If you and I have du'as to make, Ya Allah, give me a good job, let me pass my exams, give me money, give me this car, I want to marry so-and-so. This is like the had of, feed the poor, this is the had of the things that we can tell. Someone who's really altruistic, maybe all they can think about is, give me money and give money to the next person next to me, right? This is a du'a only could have issued from the heart of a Nabi, who receives wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. And don't make it the extent of my understanding. That you have people, mashallah, beard, hijab, 5 times a day prayer, still thinking like a materialist. Still thinking like a materialist. Still blind to the reality of the akhirah. Still not worrying about ikhlas, not worrying about conflict of interest. Worried more about, if I do this and then 10 people see me, then I'll get all that reward. And so you're worried and fixated on what other people see and what other people do. And not worried about what? That Allah Ta'ala is watching, and how is Allah Ta'ala going to feel about this? What is Allah Ta'ala going to react to your deed? How is He going to react to this deed? The one who إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He doesn't accept from anyone except for the one who fears Him. The one who إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبِلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. That Allah Ta'ala, indeed Allah Ta'ala is pure, and He doesn't accept anything other than that which is pure. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because of the other eyes, we forgot that Allah Ta'ala who is watching us. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلِغَ عِلْمِنَا. Ya Allah, don't make this the limit of what we do. That we behave like all the other people of the world who are blind to the reality of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the teachings of the Qur'an, to the teachings of the Sunnah, that are otherworldly. They didn't originate in this world and they don't belong in this world. That come from a realm higher than this one, that we should take it up as an identity. Janab, so this person's black, this person's white, this person's gay, this person's American, this person's Russian, and I'm a Muslim. Just like the Banu Israel said to Sayyidina Musa, give us a God like these other people have a God. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, don't make the dunya the greater part of our worry and concern, and don't make it the limit of our understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, that when we gather and we separate, we remember these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we call on Allah ta'ala by them. Those who don't remember it, pray whatever, ask Allah whichever things you remember, and then take time to remember these mubarak words, inshallah, they will be a source of benefit for you and I in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us